As you can see, as promised, the Jedi Master is here. Now, this is the bit of the housekeeping. What we're going to do is we're going to set up our question and answer lines over this side and over this side. We invite you to join the line. We also like to remind you that time is short here, George. Welcome to the red carpet. It is so nice to have you back after such a long time.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. It's truth is that we are clones. He's a clone. I'm a clone. The only one that's not a clone is Rick. We tried to clone him, but we couldn't. He's one of a kind.
The mold broke too fast.
George, you are a fan of cameos. You've done a couple of cameos in movies as such. Do we expect a cameo in episode 3?
I have a scene with Chaikwe, who was just up here, and she convinced me that I had to do the scene with her. There wasn't anybody else who could do it. So, and my other daughter is actually in that scene also. So I am in this film. It's the only Star Wars film I've ever been in, and I am an extra. It's like in a crowd like this. I'm over on the left over there, about 160 rows back.
So my question, if you're an extra...
I still had to pay him, though. Yeah.
That's a separate account. Now, as an extra, did they just put you in a tent somewhere with everyone else and then wheel you out when you were needed and wheel you back and forget about you?
No, I got to do it with blue screen.
Fantastic.
I did it later. And I'm blue. Chaikwe is blue, too. So.
Well, there you go. A little excerpt there. We're going to start our question and answer. Nancy, who do we have there?
We've got Ryan from Illinois.
Ryan.
Hello, George Lucas. Why did you create Star Wars? What made you think about it?
You know, I ask myself that every day. Why? You know, sometimes I watch the movies. I mean, just was finishing this one, and about halfway through, you really do say, what in the world was I thinking about? You know, because they're weird. Let's face it. I did it because I wanted to make a film for young people, and I wanted to make a film that was an exciting story that had values and dealt with issues that young people confront. And I wanted to make it a lot of fun, something that people enjoyed watching. And little did I realize that they would enjoy it so much. And so I've spent the rest of my life doing it.
Thank you for your question, Diana.
We have Anthony from Ohio.
Anthony?
Hello, Mr. Lucas. Thank you for coming today. We know that you're not going to make episodes 7, 8, and 9, but we also know that you probably thought about it a little bit. Could you share with us, would they have followed the Timothy Zahn books, or did you have something else in mind?
To be very honest with you, I never, ever thought about anything that happened after episode 6. You know, it just... I could always say, well, there is a backstory, because I did write the backstory, and I knew what the backstory was, and I had actually spent time on it. But the story is ultimately, as you'll see, now that you can see them all as one movie, you can see that it's actually the Darth Vader story. And, you know, it starts with him being a young boy, and it ends with him dying. And that's really the whole story. And I never really thought, I mean, even the other books and everything, it just sort of go off on their own path, because I never, ever really considered taking that particular story any further.
Thank you, Nancy.
Here's Marie from Illinois.
Hello, Mr. Lucas.
Oh, wrong one.
Over here. My question is about financing. I've gotten conflicting information. Do you finance your own film, or do you use gap financing?
What was the question?
Do you finance your own films, or do you outsource it?
No, I finance my own films. I didn't finance the very first Star Wars. I was a young lad and struggling in the film business, and I made one hit, American Graffiti, which was my second movie, and I took the money that I made from that movie and started working on Star Wars, and I started Industrial Light and Magic, and made Star Wars, and then after that, that was so successful that I was able to take all the money from that and start my own company in terms of a financing company, and from then on, I financed all my own movies and done them the way I wanted to do them.
Thank you.
We have Oscar from Turkey.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Lucas. Greetings from Turkey. I just want to ask two things, actually. First of all, you know, there are so many fans outside of the United States, and is it possible to give a bit more attention on them? There's a complete lack of merchandising, and we can't even join the fan club if we want from Turkey, so that really makes us sad.
Yeah. Howard? Right there. Talk to that man right there.
That isn't really his department, but we do have somebody in the front row that would adhere to that. Thank you very much for your question.
Yeah, we try very hard to get coverage all over the world, and you know, I'm surprised that there's a place where we haven't penetrated.
Obviously not in Turkey.
I'll make sure you have his home number.
Thank you for your question. Now is the time where you can't use flash photography, but you can use everything else except video. Right, over this side, please.
Mason from Wisconsin.
Hi, Mr. Lucas. Since this is your last Star Wars movie, what are you going to miss the most?
It has been a big family. You know, a lot of people have worked on these films for a long time. A lot of good friends, and we've had a lot of good times together. I continue to make movies and stuff, but the actual camaraderie of the making of the films and you know, the having such a great fan base, you know, to show the films to, is something that's unique in making movies, and I guess I'll probably miss that as I go off and make movies that nobody wants to see.
Thank you. Dinah?
We have Dan from New York.
George, thank you, first and foremost. And secondly, Warwick Davis wanted to ask, is there a Willow too, please? Please?
I was actually just talking to Warwick backstage, and we were communing on the possibility. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do a Willow TV series? So I can't say that we will... We'll do that, but I'm sort of moving into television now, so a lot of ideas are sort of popping up.
Thank you. Nancy.
We've got Joe from Minnesota.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to ask Mr. Lucas, how much do you think we in the room and the fans all over the world will truly love episode 3?
Well, I think, you know, it's like all the films, you know, fans are very individual. And they all have their own opinion. Star Wars fans are especially independent. I think, you know, I hope most of the people love the film. I'm sure there's some that will say they don't like it. You know, that's, you know, you can't please everybody all the time. But I'm very happy with it. I'm extremely excited about it. It's the last piece of the puzzle. You know, you then now realize that it's all one movie, one story. And it all makes sense as one piece.
We're very
excited as well. Thank you. Dinah.
We have Ken from New York.
Hello, George. First off, how many fans would like to see a Star Wars TV series? So in the advent of a dirty word, Star Trek, going off the air, are there more efforts into a Star Wars television series?
Well, we've been talking about Star Wars TV series. We're working on one right now, which is Clone Wars, which has been on the air, and we're going to try to expand that into a half an hour of 3D animation. And then we're also working on a live-action series, a spin-off, not with the main characters, but with other characters from the Star Wars universe. That will be... trying to put that together in the next year, and then we have to write a year's worth of scripts so we can do it the way we did Young Indiana Jones.
Thank you. Yes.
Tyrone from England.
Oh, hello.
I'm wondering why you did like the episodes in 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3.
Why you did it in that order?
Yeah.
Well, originally, it was meant to be one movie. And I wanted to start in the middle. It was going to be a Saturday matinee serial. You never saw the first 3 episodes. You never saw what happened afterwards. And it was purely episode 4. I wanted to start in the middle. I didn't want to deal with, you know, all the backstory and stuff. So I wrote the backstory. I wrote what happened in episodes 1, 2, and 3. And then I did episode 4, and episode 4 then grew. It got so big that I chopped that up and made it into 3 movies, which wasn't originally intended. And then when I finished those 3, you know, Return of the Jedi, I didn't think I was going to go back and make any more movies. I just figured that was it. Even though I did have a story and everything for the other ones. And then it wasn't until quite later, and the success and the continuing support of the fans and everything sort of convinced me to go back and do 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you. So George, what you're saying is that the pressure from the fan base themselves and the continuing pressure over the many years, you decided that you would go back and you would do the prequels as they are now.
Well, yeah, it wasn't really pressure. It was just simply, you know, we went and there was some discussion because we hadn't sold very many videos, VHSs, because when Star Wars came out, VHS didn't really exist. And they said, well, why don't we, you know, reissue, clean up the films and reissue them? And I said, well, this would be a great time for me to go back and fix them the way, because I've always been very unhappy with them. And I said, let me fix them and then we'll reissue them. Well, we reissued them. When we fixed them, they said, well, gee, since you fixed them up, maybe we should put them in the theaters for a week or so. And I said, well, all right, let's try that. So we put it in the theaters, and obviously it became one of the biggest hits of that year, which was a reissue of an old movie. And then the videos came out, and they were a giant hit. And we just said, well, you know, with that, it was really the support to say, yeah, there's still an audience there for Star Wars that said, maybe I could... Because I don't mind making really small movies that you know, nobody wants to go see, but I would, you know, there was a lot of thought given to whether we should you know, invest vast sums of money in Star Wars if nobody was going to want to go see it. And I was insisting that we tell the story. I know a lot of fans wanted to see Darth Vader going around killing people in the first episode. But I said, no, it's a story about 10-year-old boy, and everybody said, ooh, that's going to destroy everything. You know, I see more American Graffiti coming down the road here. And you know, but it, really everybody has supported the films, whether some people like them or not. They've always been supported, and I think they're always very entertaining. I'm happy with all of them, and I'm very happy that I'm finally finished and that you can see them all in one piece, because now I think it'll all be a different movie for you.
Fantastic. Yes, Diana.
We have Kathy from Virginia.
Hello, Mr. Lucas. Thanks for coming.
Hi.
Some people think it's actually R2-D2's story that you're telling. And he seems to be saving a lot of people a lot of times. And is it possible for the droid to have the Force powers? Did you ever think about that? Maybe R2's a little bit more special than your average astromech?
Well, you're absolutely right. And this is R2-D2's story. R2-D2, if you think about it, and it'll be very clear in this film, R2-D2 is the hero. He is the one that gets them out of the mess. Every time they get into a mess, R2-D2 is the one that gets them out of it. And he doesn't need any special powers. He's already the most powerful person on the screen there. And he's the only one that survives all the movies.
Well, there you have it. Yes, Nancy.
Nick from Florida.
I just want to say you rock, first of all. And my question is, obviously, Star Wars has taken up so many years of your life, but what do you say to all of these wacky people that are here, you know, that it's focused so much of our lives on your story? What do you say about that?
Well, I'm very grateful for you all, and I'm very... surprised. I've known over the years, I mean, Star Wars is something to enjoy and to take away what you can from it that maybe helps you in your lives, but don't let it take over your lives. I mean, that's what they all say about Trekkies, and I know Star Wars fans don't do that, but you know, the point of the movie is to get on with your lives. To take that challenge, to leave your uncle's moisture farm, to go out into the world and change it and save the universe.
Thank you. Yes, Diana.
We have Paul from Connecticut.
Well, Uncle George, because I feel we can all call you that. I'm not going to ask about Star Wars because I spoiled myself. I read Revenge of the Sith, and I'll tell you, you nailed it. My question, when's the man in the hat coming back?
As a matter of fact, I just received the new script 2 days ago, and I have yet to read it. You know, it's one of those scary boxes, you know, you sort of, oh gosh, what if it's bad? But I'm actually going to read it this weekend, and I'll be talking to Steven on Monday, and we'll figure out what we're going to do. So it's definitely in the works. And
thank you. I see the LZ sitting in the front row here. How much do the creative teams influence your decision on what creates and what comes in and out of your universe as far as Star Wars is concerned?
Well, I always keep an open mind. I mean, I have a very strong opinion, and everybody's heard about that. But I keep an open mind. I listen to what everybody else has to say, and if something fits into the large picture. The director's job is to keep the whole thing, the big picture, in his mind at all times, and everybody else is kind of looking at it from their point of view. And that's nice to get different points of view from different areas on the film. And I take what I think fits, and I don't take what I think might not work in the film. But I do try to listen to everybody, you know, except Nick Gilliard, who I don't listen to at all.
Yes, he's a bit of a lad, that boy. We'll take a question over the side.
Rob from Wisconsin.
Rob.
Hi, Mr. Lucas. What color would your lightsaber be?
That's a personal question, isn't it?
That's a very good question. I have two lightsabers. I have a red one and a blue one. And, you know, I'm like Grievous. I sort of collect them, and then depending on how I feel that morning, I pick the one I need.
Thank you. Yes.
We have Jesse from Florida.
Jesse.
Hi, Mr. Lucas. In the next movie, the Confederates have a new weapon called buzz droids, I believe, that land on a ship and proceed to dismantle it. Now, why wouldn't particle shields deflect those?
Yeah. Yes,
what
it's,
is that?
Yeah, they, sometimes the fans are a little disappointed when things are let out before they're meant to be let out. That wasn't tires that were let down there. That was just, yes. He's young. He's young. Let him go.
What was the question again?
Why aren't there more toys in Istanbul?
We'll have to check the website, StarWars.com.
Yeah, there's all kinds of new and wonderful things in the movies, and what he was talking about is one of them. And it's a different way of attacking spaceships than what we're used to. It's not the normal, you know, missile exploding. It's something a little bit more intriguing.
And I think you have to also understand that when you're asking your questions, you know full well that you've come to a house where everyone has the same religion. And so when you're starting to ask questions about other things, you know, we're going to take, unfortunately, we're going to take two more questions, one from this side, one from that side. We're going to ask you all if you could please take your seats again because time is limited. We thank you very much for waiting patiently in line. But we're going to take the second to last question, which is from this side.
Tommy from Tennessee.
Tommy.
George, thank you for your time today. I'm curious. You've already told us we will not see a 7, 8, 9. So after this movie, the next thing we have to look forward to is the TV show.
Right.
I'm curious about the time frame of the TV show. And will we see any of the actors from 1, 2, or 3 cross over into that TV show to kind of keep a thread?
Well, there's none of the main characters from 1, 2, and 3, or 4, 5, and 6 for that matter. That's not completely true. Now that I think about it. We haven't really started the TV show, so it's hard to answer. But it is a possibility. It does take place between episode 3 and 4. So there's a lot of issues that are connected, but not very many people. You know, I mean, you hear about people, but you don't actually see them.
Thank you. And our final question over here.
We have Timothy from Nevada.
Timothy.
Hello, George, and thank you.
Woohoo!
I'd like to ask you, will we ever see a movie that deals with the Knights of the Old Republic and the rise of the Sith?
Well, not that I know of right now. There was an issue of talking, you know, if these TV shows work, then maybe there will be more. And if there are more, then we will go to other places like that rather than around the actual saga.
Thank you. As we are slowly winding this down, I also have a question for both the gentlemen here. If there was a Star Wars character that you wanted to play, who would that be and why? George.
That's such a tough question. Come on, that's not fair. I would be R2-D2.
And why would that be?
Well, because he gets to have all the fun. And he's the character that's got the biggest sense of humor.
Rick.
I would take after my physical being, Jabba the Hutt.
And obviously, now that you've completed this work, is it R&R time, or what is the focus now for you?
I'm working on producing a film about African-American fighter pilots during World War II. We're trying to get these TV series organized and set up. So we're pretty busy, even though we're finished.
No R&R. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, please, if you'd like to put your hands together for the Jedi Master himself, George Lucas.